I would like.
We can't talk for an hour at this early in the morning.
Yeah, definitely. let's see. I'm gonna ask you questions about your process. I'm gonna ask you questions about some projects you did, that kind of thing. So.
I know.
Great. All right, Donovan, I'm ready when you are. Let's fire it up. Let's get ready.
Live, pre-recorded months ago.
How long were we actually recording?
We've already recorded a full hour's worth of show.
We've already got 6 minutes down. That part where I was
not that much,
telling you how much I hate. And I couldn't come up with something good to say because I don't have hate in my heart this morning. I did a little while ago, but things have calmed down. Got to see a little bit of Stephen Doyle's presentation today. That guy's really calm, very dark, quiet, relaxing mood. But again,
which is
what you need at 9 a.m. at Howe, but also kind of sly. So he kind of kept your brain on its toes. Like you might miss something. Like, why is everyone in the room laughing? I didn't even catch it, but. Anyway, it was pretty good.
The quiet smart guys are the most dangerous.
Yeah, I know. He's super dangerous. Still a threat, quiet smart guys. So, Donovan, we're joined this morning, this mid-morning, kind of near afternoonish, by Jessica Hisch. Am I saying that's right? Right.
That's right. Well, Hisch. I mean, technically, I pronounce it wrong too. The Germans would probably sneer at me, but
how would the Germans say it?
Hisha.
Yeah. Let's go with Hisch.
Yeah. So actually, like Tina Eisenberg, Roth Eisenberg, is like every time that she hears me pronounce my last name, she's like. Why do you pronounce your name wrong?
Yeah, you're doing it wrong, Jessica. So,
do you spell your name wrong too, or do you got that one correct?
That one I hope is correct. Maybe it's an Ellis Island thing, so who knows? But apparently, if you Google Hisch, there's still a bunch of Germans around that, you know, it's like me and my dad and like some person in California, and then other than that, it's just like actual Germans and not we like
right.
Americans. Slang-wise,
yeah, we all, you know, we eventually develop our own slant on pronunciations and. That's why the English language is actually like one of the most complicated in the world to people that have to learn it from a book. This is great. This is why we're here to talk about on the Reflex Blue Show today is language. Actually, you know what? Kind of it is. Kind of it
because
is. Because
Jessica is like a master, a true like artsmanship when it comes to letters.
Yeah, your letter forms. Your letters. They're great.
Well, thank you.
They're
so
pretty.
Much.
Where can people
you're
go
really
right now
good.
To look at your letters?
I can tell you.
They could go either
to the best URL ever.
I bought a URL from Iceland, which I've been taking advantage of too.
Is that where the IS comes from?
Yeah, .is yeah. comes from that. It's a little more expensive, i.e., a lot more expensive than US domain names, but well worth it for the stupid punchlines that I.
No, it's great. Right. It's yeah. It's a Jessica Hisch .is
/ awesome.
Yeah. I remember the first time I saw that I was like, oh yeah.
I hope
one of those things where I'm like
myself on the back.
We had somebody tell us we need to buy the PT domain extension, so it'd be 36.pt for 36 point.
What country
but it was
would that
like,
be?
Well, it's like $1,000 a year or something.
Yeah, I mean,
you should tell them that we don't.
Yes, it's $140 a month. So,
oh man!
Oh no, it's $140 a year. Never mind.
Okay.
Well, that's not too bad. But
and then they also plus they had to we had to like be officially registered as our company name is 36 or something, and it was
silly. You can just buy domain names.
So we're 36.
You can buy Batman.com even if you're not DC or Warner Brothers,
but not Batman.pt.
Okay.
Maybe they've changed.
I don't know what PT is for.
Canadians are surprisingly tight-lipped about their. URLs as well. I tried to get a .ca. Mm-hmm. You have to be officially registered in Canada for some such.
Oh man! Oh, because Drawn is a .ca.
Well, I think they are Canadian.
Yeah, I didn't even. This is. Illuminating my world. I've never really given it much thought where those different dots come from. I thought it was like .tv that everyone thought was going to be cool for a while. For 5 minutes, and then they realize that nobody wants to do that.
I keep trying to come up with something good for the .me or the .us, but I just can't do it. It's just not in me. So right. The .is has to do.
Yeah, then you wind up with like Jessica Hisch is .me, and that's just poor grammar, and it, no,
some
yeah.
domains, it's too complicated.
Yeah.
Trying to communicate that without a business card, impossible.
Yeah, it's very, very difficult. Okay, so Jessica, tell us a little bit about your background. You work for yourself now.
I do indeed.
Which is not always the case. So, Trace, for us, how did you get from there to here?
Surely. I'll give you the short version because it's kind of a...
Let's do it. Yeah, let's do the quickie. We've only got half an hour.
And also, plus, our attention spans are low.
I'm super rambly, too, if you let me be. And also, I have only had, like, maybe 3 ounces of coffee today, so...
I'm working on my second ounce of coffee right now. No, actually, that's great. That's how radio works. We love rambly guests. We can say one thing like, tell us about shoes, and then just... sit back for like half an hour.
You guys need to get Charles Spencer Anderson on here. He's like the best storyteller I've ever.
Chuck, a couple of my friends work for Chuck.
Yeah.
I've actually never met him. I've had drinks and beers in his office.
We did it like 2 a.m.
Yeah.
And we've had two of the guys that worked for him on our previous podcast.
Do you?
He was just down of town.
Dudes from his company.
Well, I met him when I was judging the FPO show in Austin.
Okay. Okay.
A couple weeks ago, and I was idolizing him as a student.
Yeah.
Not,
yeah. He's got.
But they were here for the French papers.
So. Yeah.
And it was really fun. That guy can, like, turn any mundane thing into an amazing story, so.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, super talented. A lot of talented people there. Again, I got...
So my story.
Let's talk about you, Jessica.
Instead of domains and coffee and
other people who we like. You know who's great? Tom Hanks.
Okay. Some people think that. I was about to go into this some sort of animal domain name that Tom Hanks is about. Someone said to me.
Oh, Tom Hanks is bears or something, or is it just like Tom Hanks?
Animals? Or yeah, something like that. I don't know.
That's another thing that makes me happy.
I love the internet so much. It's ridiculous.
I saw something the other day. We will definitely talk to you about you. I promise. And it was like. It was like the crazy photoshops of just ridiculous things that no one would ever think of, like a bear tightroping over Shark Mountain. But the quality on the photoshops is so high.
That's because it comes from love. Designers spend their time.
Last diversion, like before we actually get down to the meat of stuff, but yeah. I've always thought there should be a blog for like the unsung heroes of Photoshop.
Mm-hmm.
Like whenever I'm on the subway and I see like some Everybody Loves Raymond ad where like the lighting from the neon sign is perfectly right on the obvious stock photo head.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, that guy never gets told that he's good at what he does.
Yeah.
So if anyone ever wants to start that, go for it.
Great. There's a free idea out there for the listeners. All right. We're 8 minutes deep, 7 or 8 minutes deep in the show. Jessica, how did you get your start?
So I actually just posted a website called ICANN Has Art School. That is all of my. It was my portfolio that I applied to college with when I was in high school, and then a lot of drawings for my freshman year of college, which show that I obviously did not know what graphic design was.
Right.
So I went to Catholic school first, which wouldn't let me take art classes, so I transferred to public school. Ended up with an art teacher that pushed me into a program even after I got rejected from community college. And I ended up just, like, excelling so much in school. I always thought that I didn't really have, like, opinions that were worth listening to because I was, like, an 18-year-old from a relatively okay background.
Mm-hmm.
But graphic design was great because I could just, like, express other people's opinions instead.
Right. Oh, there you go.
And then so after I graduated, I worked for Headcase Design in Philadelphia, and they did a lot of illustration and also book design. And while I was working there, I was putting together a portfolio or promos to kind of do more freelance illustration work, and I sent one to Louise Feely, and she was the only person that responded. So she had me come up for an interview. I ended up getting a job working for her for 2.5 years. It was epically wonderful. And most of the stuff that I know from lettering, I've learned while I was working there. I mean, she just has this ridiculously epic library of vintage type that every day I would be forced to look at and draw from.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
It was pretty amazing. So while I was working for her, I was keeping this outrageous schedule of, like, working from 9 to 6 and then going home and doing freelance work from, like, 7 to 2 or 3
sure,
in the morning.
Sure, sure, yeah.
And then eventually the freelance work just kind of got out of hand, and I had a lot of other projects that I really wanted to work on that I just didn't have time for with a day job as well, so I ended up jumping out on my own.
Roll the dice and jump out there.
And how long ago has that been that you actually have been full-time self-employed?
September of 2009 is when I left working for Louise. So.
Okay, so fairly recent, but...
I only graduated college in 2006.
Yeah, okay, there it is.
We are underachievers, Nate.
I think that we achieve our own special things.
No.
We've got a great show.
We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Let's do our first break. Oh. Oh, you want me to go? I didn't have a question prepared, Donovan.
Jessica, what are you here speaking about at the HAL conference? What's your topic? Because it's going to be this afternoon, or in this case, months ago.
I am actually speaking. Usually I just end up rambling about myself for like an hour and a half. But in this case, I'm rambling about myself for approximately a half hour and then rambling about other people for a half hour after that. So the topic is, the actual title is Letter for a Living, but I really should change it to Lettering is Not Fonts, because that's actually what my handout is for it. So it's, I figured...
And are you just talking about Tom Hanks being a bear, or what other type of people are you talking about? Is this specific to people who work in type?
There are certainly some, like, cat things going on within the talk, because if anyone follows me online, like, I'm just like a crazy cat lady. But what I'm actually talking about is, it's kind of shocking how few designers can name even five typeface designers, and even though they're like using their typefaces like crazy over all their award-winning work. And typeface designers don't really advocate for themselves, because they're, you know, the lifestyle of a typeface designer is not one of traveling the circuit and talking to people.
I just really tried hard, and I came up with three.
Adrian Fruitier.
Yeah, who's dead.
Matthew Carter.
Oh, Matthew Carter's a good one. I was like, Hoffler and Frere Jones, there's two of those dudes. I get two right there.
You are perfect right now for this talk, because honestly, I start off with, like, you guys probably know who Matthew Carter is and Jonathan Heffler and Tobias Frere Jones, and that's probably all that you know. Or you know the dudes who named fonts after themselves.
You know, I didn't want to go to, like, those guys.
We also know, like, House Industries is out there.
Yeah,
but name House Guy.
I've bowled with them years ago, but I don't remember their names.
Oh, my God, we did bowl with them.
Barber, man. Yeah. And Intro, there's a bunch of them.
She's got a whole thing worked out for this.
Yeah. I'm only mentioning House a little bit because they started this awesome project called Photo Lettering. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I'm talking about it is because it's kind of blurs the line hardcore between lettering, type design, because they essentially bought up the Photo Lettering library and converted it to a website where you can, you know, type words out and buy them by the word or by the phrase for $7, and it sends you a PDF in the mail. So it's perfect for, like, really crazy display type that's in the Photo Lettering library that you wouldn't necessarily want to spend, like, $70 on a font for, because you're only going to use it on this one project.
Right. That's very cool.
But it's really neat. The way that they built the interface up, they actually hired other typeface designers to collaborate with them to, like, build these really complicated multicolor typefaces. And then they have a website that compiles everything together, and you can choose colors for the different sections. It's really neat.
Man, so, again, you're excellent at talking about other people's things.
So what other person's thing that is currently going on in the letter world should we point people to right now that, like, they don't know about Matthew Carter's work?
You just want her to drop the House URL? Is that what you're...
No, outside of House. We've already pointed to that.
Well, it's actually less, like, individual people's projects, because the projects end up being all over the internet anyway, because people love lettering. But what it is most people don't understand that lettering and typeface design are two separate animals.
That's exactly what I just wanted to ask you about, because you dropped that a second ago. It's like, lettering is not fonts. And when I worked for myself, I made a very, you know, conscious decision that if I was going to design a logo for somebody, I would not, and I did it only in one case because it had to be, like, super efficient and we didn't have time for it. But that every bit of type would always be completely unique. It'd be something I would have to build up from scratch for them so that, you know, so that it can be unique and it can be more expressive. And so...
Plus, as soon as you tell people that, they're like, okay, we can pay you now.
great. So kind of, what's your point of view on that? Like, what's backing up that statement?
Well, there is actually, like, legitimate differences between them. And, like, I think that there's a place for lettering and a place for type. I don't think that type should take over and kill lettering. Which, like, some typeface designers, what they're trying to do is, like, make these typefaces that are almost lettering. Like, there's essentially so many, like, alternate characters that it becomes almost lettering.
House does it.
And Alejandro Paul is, like, the main guy that does it. Because House Industries does, like, a lot of amazing stuff with fonts, but if you want to talk about, like, a 2,000-character typeface that has, like, eight alternates of every letter, like, he's the guy. And, you know, I love Ollie's work. I'm glad that he's around, but I don't want it to be like everybody's making these all of a sudden, because the lettering industry will just die. And lettering essentially is type as image. So it's like a one-off. Mm-hmm. You know, you get hired to draw one word and that's it. Not meant to be rearranged. Doesn't have to be idiot-proofed. And there's, like, a lot of confusion I find in the design industry depending on...
Similar to, like, what Marion Banshees does a lot of?
Yeah, Marion Banshees is definitely... She's a letterer. And she's a wonderful letterer.
Do you guys hang out?
I've actually met her a couple times. Mm-hmm. I was super weird and fangirly when I first met her.
So was I.
God, I mean, well, plus, I mean, she's just such an epic figure in the design industry. Yeah. So I went up to her, and it was not even that long ago, maybe like a year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like sweaty and like, I think we worked on projects together. You know, and she was like, who is this person?
Mary Banshees, I really like your work. Wait, I did that the other day to somebody. I can't remember who it was, but I was walking through. I was like, I think you're pretty neat. Yeah. My name's Nate. I'll see you later. Oh, and I completely lost my train of thought because I was thinking about nerding out on somebody. It's like the result of you know, the ease of opening up a text box. I'll open up a text box and I'll put something here. And, you know, maybe it stays that way, or maybe you think, well, I'll put it here for now, and then I'll come back and I'll do something great, and then you know, time ticks away, and then you have to send it, and you're just like, okay, well, maybe I'll do a little drop, like, effect or something. And I'm actually working on a project right now that I would describe as, I wouldn't have before this conversation, but I would now as kind of a lettering project. It's just a project where there's no budget for photography, mm-hmm. and it's pro bono, so there is budget for design. So we're just like, okay, type. That's what we have. We have type. So I'm kind of like working through a project like that right now. Hey, I'm going to segue that into, how do you work through lettering projects, Jessica?
So lettering is actually, like, everyone thinks that lettering is close to design because, you know, designers think type and they think design.
Mm-hmm. Clearly, based on my previous statement, clearly I do. So,
but lettering, as the industry, is actually right aligned with illustration. And mm-hmm. illustration and design are very different from each other in terms of just how everything works.
Yes.
Think about it, if you were a designer and you only worked for other designers, your projects would be very different than what they are when you're working directly with clients.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Deal with design. So as a letterer, most of the work that I do, unless I'm doing logos for individuals, I'm working for art directors, I'm working for creative directors, mm-hmm. I'm working for other designers. So the process ends up being either completely crazy or really smooth,
nice.
Depending on, like, of course, how good they are as art directors.
Yeah.
But in general, what's kind of nice is they at least appreciate what I do and what I'm bringing to the table, mm-hmm. and, you know, occasionally can even use the right terminology when they're telling me to fix things.
Right.
But the way that it kind of works is that, like, design, you can work hourly, you can work on a day rate. But with lettering and with illustration, everything's kind of priced on a per project basis.
Right, yeah, you know, yeah. I also do illustration, so yeah, no.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't quote hourly rates for illustration jobs at all.
And so much of it is based on what people are licensing the work for. So essentially, if I get hired to do lettering for a giant ad campaign that's going to be all over the world, it's going to be quoted very differently as for a local company. And as a designer, mm-hmm. you think, no duh, but you have to actually break that down, like, into usage for, like, the year, for online mm-hmm. and print, for, you know, everything. So
right.
it ends up being, like, right aligned with illustration and licensing illustration stuff versus design, where you're kind of, a lot of times with design, you're just giving the rights away because people have to trademark everything.
Right, exactly. So do you can we break down into the tactical? Do you start with sketch? Please say yes.
I do start with sketches. Actually, there was a long time in which if I had my option, I would not start with sketches.
Mm-hmm.
And it depends on kind of what I'm working on, but whenever it's client work, I always start with sketches just because you do need that stage to kind of flood out a bunch of ideas.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm just messing around on the internet, like, or not on the internet, in Illustrator.
Or, yeah, like, should I work for free or something like that?
We could talk about those projects in a second. Right. But if I'm just messing around, you know, experimenting with lettering online, or for mm-hmm. my daily dropcap project that I made,
right?
I wouldn't do sketches for those. I would just kind of start and build it up from nothing on the computer. Because no matter what, it's a really additive process, whether or not you start with sketches. And I think that's something that is a little confusing, too, for people that want to get into lettering. They think that everything that I'm doing, I'm looking at some, like, really specific resource,
mm-hmm.
when really I'm just laying out the decisions that I generally have to make. Like,
right.
Is it going to be Roman? Is it going to be a script? If it's going to be a script, is it going to be a slanted script? If it's mm-hmm. going to be a slanted script, how slanted is it going to be? Is it going to have thick and thins? Is
right.
it going to feel vintage? Is it going to feel modern? You know, and once you make all those decisions, it's much easier to kind of, like, you essentially have the sketch in your brain, whether mm-hmm. or not you actually have a physical sketch.
Right. So let's take something specific, like the Huckleberry Finn or Jane Eyre books. Who did you do those for? I only had my mobile phone, and as is clearly pointed out on your mobile site, mobile is not the best way to view a portfolio, but I've never known the actual...
I'm really pumped that you actually ended up at the mobile URL, which I threw together in, like, an afternoon, because I was like, you know what, this is going to be fun to do.
Yeah, we should have a mobile site. It's the new world. It's the new portfolio site. You have to be able to go mobile.
That's right. That's why it's not in Flash, right?
Right. Well.
Well, none of my website isn't in Flash in general. I built it in WordPress.
But that's why Flash is going away. We've talked about this before.
Yeah, yeah. Steve Jobs.
Yeah. So yes, all completely correct.
But that project was for Sterling in mm-hmm. New York and through Barnes and Noble. So they actually do a lot of Barnes and Noble's,
right.
You know, classic releases there.
Right. Yeah. The I had this word in the elevator. The books that public domain. Those.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. The public domain books. So they released different series of them to appeal to different people.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I got the call to do this series with them, it started off as just being 3 books, and then they were pleased with it and became 6 books, which mm-hmm. was a series. Then I did an additional 3, and now I'm doing another 3.
Wow. So what that means is those books are selling.
Actually, surprisingly not.
No?
They've been getting a lot of attention just, I think, from... you know, lettering and design nerds, but mm-hmm. in general, I think the general public doesn't quite know where to place them or something. Like, because I think what it is that, like, my style cannot be masculine. Like, no matter what I draw, it feels friendly.
Right.
And so even if I'm drawing, like, creepy Dracula type, it's still, like,
I want to have a drink with Dracula.
Yeah,
he looks so nice.
This guy's not so bad, right?
Yeah, he's just misunderstood.
So I think they're very, like, the leathers are very dark,
mm-hmm.
But the actual type itself is not, like, extremely serious. Like, it's painstakingly done and whatnot, but it's not serious. It's light, you know?
Right, right.
I can't wait until The Road becomes public domain and you get to do the cover for that.
I would love to see you do a cover of The Road.
I know. I still haven't even read The Road because everybody keeps telling me the ideal time to read it. They're like, you have to read it on the sunniest day ever, like, so that you don't go home and, like, just drown
yourself in wine. Yeah, just jump off a building after reading it.
We'll be right back.
So you mentioned the Daily Drop Cap moments ago, and that was your kind of what's mostly daily. I came to it afterwards, actually, and I have to tell you this now. I'm going to tell you on mic that I was for this project that I'm working on that I told you about a second ago. I was going through and grabbing like lettering samples, pardon me, from online sources and galleries, and I kind of put them all together on this this big mood board, and I looked at it, I was like, yeah, that's all Jessica's stuff. They're like, there was a couple, it was not 100%, but like most of the stuff that I was looking for that was like the quality that I was, that I'm aiming for in this project is like, oh my God, that's all her.
It's actually very, very few people. I'm not surprised because very few people have such massive portfolios online.
Mm.
You know, a lot of people, like, there's two kind of trains of thought in terms of having a portfolio online. You should, like, curate it and have, like, your 10 best pieces, or you should have a billion pieces. And I'm of the billion pieces sect.
Right.
Because lettering is so much like illustration, and because if you're an illustrator, you essentially just get hired to, like, play your greatest hits over and over again.
Right.
You know,
this is a really fun way to say that. Yeah, that's what you get.
Yeah.
You've done this. Can you do that for me, but slightly different?
You know, you might illustrate a book, like an arboretum book of, like, mm-hmm. 150 trees, but then get hired to do a, like, Christmas campaign, and since you have never drawn a Christmas tree, they're like, I don't quite know if she can do it. There's
yeah.
a Christmas tree here.
This guy's never drawn cows, and I need someone that can draw cows.
I don't think she's ever used the letter Q.
Yeah.
None of these words have that letter in it. I don't know if she can handle it.
Exactly. And for whatever reason, that's like, because you have to deal with such crazy bureaucracy, especially with ad jobs and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
that it's common. So I just threw everything that I could online. And the Daily Drop Cap actually ended up being really great for that, because mm-hmm. at the end of the project, it was almost like a catalog of styles that I could work.
Right, right. And so what did that project, which was self-initiated, just like, I'm going to do a drop cap every day, like, coming out of that, how much did you learn?
Well, I thought it would be, like, not quite as difficult as it was, like,
mm-hmm.
but after about six, I did 12 alphabets total.
Yeah.
So after about the 6th alphabet, I was like, man, I don't know what I'm going to do for this next W.
Right.
So what started off as taking, like, 20 minutes per letter ended up at the end of the project taking like an hour and a half or 2 hours per letter, just trying to come up with something to do that wasn't just a repeat of something I'd previously done. But the real takeaway from it was I didn't realize how big of an impact that that project would have on my career. Like, when I left working for Louise, I was getting steady work. But once I launched that project, it just got picked up on, like, every blog, and then, like, people actually knew who I was, which was a change, because people within the illustration community, like, ended up knowing who I was just because the illustration community is so tight-knit and small that, like, if you're doing quality work, people know each other.
Yeah.
So it kind of launched my career, essentially. And from it, I kind of learned that the more personal projects that you do, the more people see an insight into your personality and might choose you over the other person that's doing, like, maybe this, maybe as good of work as you, but they seem inaccessible. They seem like, I don't know what they're going to be like to work with.
People do like to work with people that they think will be fun to work with.
Yeah. Exactly.
It is kind of a deal.
When there's, and I love how much this does relate to the illustration industry, because I found, like, it's, there's almost two schools. There's the old guys, and I mean that with respect and admiration. There's the old guys that still, I think, look at it as a lot of competition, and in order for me to succeed, I need to get that job over that other guy. I think that the younger generation of illustrators, especially online, it's this incredibly supportive community. Like, everyone out there is just like, if they see something that they think is great, they go and they tell all of their friends about it. They tell,
totally.
Here's a person who did this. Look at their work. Oh my God, it's amazing.
And
that's half the people I follow on Twitter are just people that do that.
Totally. It also really depends on what kind of work you're trying to attract. Because if you want, like, extremely corporate, super serious, super high-paying, like, bullshit, like, run-it-through-the-ringer kind of work, like, you do maybe have to have that air of professionalism online. Like, you can't just, like, talk about how you were out until 2 in the morning and feel a little surly the next day on Twitter. Because clients don't appreciate that.
Sometimes, though. I mean, I don't know. And that's, I think that's the thing to figure out, because...
But for I want to work with people that I would want to be friends with.
Yeah, like, exactly.
If I can, like, I had a call the other day. I was working on a job and for a place out in San Francisco, and I had to talk to them at 10 o'clock in the morning my time, so it was extremely early in the morning their time. And the art directors got on the phone and were just like, I'm sorry, like, I'm a little out of it this morning. And I was like, I love you guys already. Like, I can't wait to work.
Great. Perfect start.
Right, so, because you will never call me before 10 in the morning. You might be my favorite client. Is that how it works?
Exactly. Yeah. They were like, we don't roll into the office till 10, so, like, really, like, whenever we say send this tomorrow morning, but if you send it by noon, like, that's when we'll probably look at it. And I was like, you are already my favorite. So
yeah, you guys are great. So tell us a little bit. Tell us about Should I Work for Free and Mom This Out Twitter. Where are these coming from?
So I find that with a lot of my client work, I'm not really doing a lot of high concept work. Like, most of the work that I'm doing is very much like iterating other people's ideas with, you know, putting my own spin in it. But especially with stuff like advertising work, like, you get hired after people are thinking about the project for months and months before you're even called. So I get called and I get said, you know, draw a tire swing, and then I draw a tire swing, and maybe I say, like, what do we do a thing on it? And then that happens. But I didn't really have an outlet for all, like, the silly, stupid ideas that I wanted to do, because trying to get clients to do that is, like, impossible. So I decided to kind of start these other projects where I can kind of flex my writing wings and, you know, do a lot of things that I used to do in school that I don't really get to do as a professional, because you just get, you know, sequestered into this little zone of what you actually do professionally.
Right. And that's the greatest hits thing. Yeah.
Exactly, the greatest hits. So I started a bunch of side projects, just one at a time, whenever I would have a stupid idea. Like, I've actually bought two URLs since I've been here. So
all right. Ideas are flowing at
home. Two more projects. But it's the Should I Work for Free chart. I get a lot of student emails because I am so accessible online. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them have questions about pricing. A lot of them have questions, you know, really practical questions that, you know, pricing is such a black art, and no one shares their fees and whatnot. But what I think a lot of people talk about, there's, like, always a debate between whether or not you should do something for exposure or not. And most of the illustrators are like, never. And some of the designers are like, you have to. So I wanted to kind of put out my opinion in a way that was funny, that I could still, like, educate people about.
Right, that people can get some tactics out of.
Exactly.
Is it that? Do you know?
But it ended up being...
Are you buddies?
Yeah, so the chart itself is, like, really humorous.
Yeah.
Like, while it actually communicates my real opinions on it, you know, there's all these kind of jokes about, you know, working for free for your mom because, like, you know, she gave birth to you, like, sacrifice your 2 hours to design her garage sale flyer, like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You'd probably have to bleep me out a bunch on your show.
We don't actually...
You've obviously never listened.
Yeah, we don't. Sure. Because seriously, because James Victoria was on right before you.
sweet.
Yeah, they were flying
a little bit too, yeah. So
for no reason.
They've been
for no reason whatsoever.
But so the Should I Work for Free chart was really fun because I also used it as an excuse. I was kind of learning HTML and CSS at the time while I was developing my website. So when I launched, I just put it up as a JPEG online, and then it was like a 2,000 pixel wide JPEG, so all these people were like, it's taking too long to load. And I'm like, it's a giant JPEG, and a bunch of people are looking at it right now, like, chill out, like, you can wait a second. It's that whole, like, everything is amazing and no one's happy thing.
The new chart. But should you chill out and wait for this JPEG to load?
Exactly.
Yes, no.
So I ended up spending a day, like, I was like, whatever, I'm just going to redo it. And I ended up redoing the entire thing just in HTML and CSS, so there's no images. So actually the entire chart that's online now at shouldiworkfree.com is just HTML and CSS. And what's neat about it is that you can actually swap out the languages now with Google's, like, janky translation.
Yeah, yeah.
And I recently made it into a letterpress piece.
I saw that. That's in your store.
Oh, so we can go to the Jessica.
Jessica Hish is store. Jessica Hish is I can has poster.
It used to be buy stuff from JessicaHish.com. But when I actually canceled my old domain hosting, everything's been crazy. So so now it's just if you go to the .is, you'll be able to find
You should go to the site. There will be a link. We don't need direct.
Okay, we're going to take our last break and we're going to come back. We got two more questions and then we're going to wrap this up.
Let's do it.
All right, so we had a little snafu and we got stood up by Disney, which I think is destroying Nate because it's like one of his all-time favorite companies. I
wanted to talk about Aladdin.
I know.
I'm not lying.
Do you want to talk about Aladdin for Nate instead?
I could because, honestly, there are several Disney songs that are on the regular rotation for my karaoke nights.
Mm-hmm.
So A Whole New World, of course, is one of them.
It's a duet. It's a great one.
It's a really good duet, especially when two dudes do it.
Nice.
Part of Your World, Little Mermaid. I could sing that like nobody's business. So if there's ever a karaoke night, that is my song.
Okay. Let's set that up for next year's time.
Okay. Or on the next show. And then, so we've got this from James Victori. But it's for Chris Chapman, so we're going to have to get the answer from you. It's so, you work in marketing for Disney. I'm about to redesign the interior of my yacht. Do you suggest mahogany or teak?
For sure, teak. Like, hands down. Like, the second I saw, I mean, maybe walnut, too. I'm more of like a walnut slash teak. But if you want that mid-century modern vibe in your yacht, then you got to go for the teak.
It's got to be teak all the way.
Teak all the way.
Do you want to say the motherfucker part again?
Oh, yeah, and the reason he asked this, because obviously the motherfucker makes some coin.
I just want any opportunity I have for you to say motherfucker on mic, I want to give you, because getting to know each other, motherfucker is my favorite cuss word, so.
It's a pretty good one.
It's multisyllabic, and it's very complex.
All right, and do you have any questions for our next guest, who will be David Sherwin out of Frog?
Who has offices all over the place. We don't know which one. Yeah, aside from our difficulty of losing our Disney interview, we also lost like 5 minutes of the show. So we're totally not doing this for a second time. But yeah, any questions for David?
Well, actually, like I was at first, I thought, I should probably try and get all my fiance's friends that he graduated from SBA with jobs since they all graduated for interaction design. But maybe now I feel like being selfish and keeping myself on the East Coast. So maybe Frog wants to send like a really generous like $1 million job offer to.
Wow.
to Russ Rashmeyer so that we stay in New York. So we're going bicoastal because he's now going to be a product designer at Facebook. So,
good for him. That's a decent job.
Buying up the talent.
Good for them. Okay, so David, we'll see if we can't make some $1 million jobs happen.
No, don't do it for him. He's happy.
Now
he's happy.
Has to compete with Facebook on hiring people.
He won't win, so that's okay. Facebook is they're like, look at our posse of friends that we've gathered for you, plus this offering bonus of all these shares, which will eventually turn into $1 million.
Right. Okay.
So, but go for all the other very, very talented graduates from the SBA Interaction Design Program for sure.
You got it. Okay. So again, Jessica, thanks so much for coming and hanging out with us on the show today. Look forward to seeing your talk this afternoon.
Absolute
I'm
pleasure.
Have to kind of duck in between yours and one other one, so I'll be...
Well, I will tell you, it's going to be split pretty perfectly in half. If you want to hear about me, you come in the beginning. If you want to hear about other people, you come at the end.
I'll have to make the choice.
Yeah.
It's like Sophie's
choice. It's a big choice.
Choice.
I will tell you.
I'm really interested in like all of the other type designs.
And I will tell you if you want to...
I'm not all interested in you is what I heard out of that.
Yeah, that's okay. If you at all want to know about
me,
there's...
That's not what I meant at all. But if you were kind of cool. You kind of played it off like maybe that is what he meant. But
well, you know, honestly, there's more information about me online than any person should ever put on the internet. So
I did just spend the last like a half hour talking to you about you.
Yeah.
And some other things, too.
Yeah. There's also like a crazy FAQ, like all these micro websites that are essentially just like pictures of me doing things that are stupid. And
nice.
That sounds like a new URL. Pictures of me doing things that are stupid.com.
Great.
Done.
Dot.
Jessica Hitch. .is. Slash.
Okay, I think we're going to close down the show, Don. How do you feel about that?
I feel great. We'll be back in a week or two.
Great. Thanks, everybody, for listening. That'll do.